Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show on Irirangi o Whangaroa. And here in the studio, I've got Ngaro Noronata. Good morning.
Ata mari e te whānau whānui o Whangaroa. Ko Ngaro Noronata tōku ingoa. Ko tēnei te wiki o te reo.
Mm.
So this week has been dedicated in terms of a timing it's called Te Wiki o Te Reo, which is really around celebrating Māori language. Mm. I have a reading here for you, and that was the beautiful Taisha Tari once again singing Karanga for us to open this time together. This is a kōrero in relationship to Mahuru, which is the month of September. And it goes like this. Ka hoki mai te pipi wharauro i tōna rerenga ki tā whiti nui, ki tā whiti roa. Kua hoki mai ki tōna wāhi whānautanga ki te whānau i ōna heki. E puawai ana te kōwhai, te puawānanga me te rangiora. Kua āta ara mai a papatuanuku i tōna moinga roa o te hōtoke. Ka tīmata ngā mahi ki te whakatikatika i ngā mārakai. And the translation for that kōrero goes like this. The pipi wharauroa is the shining kuku. So the shining kuku is returns from its migration to lay eggs in the place of their birth. We have the kōwhai, the native clematis, and bushman's friend, which is the rangiora, also known as pukapuka, are now in flower. The earth slowly wakes from a long winter sleep, and the ground is prepared for gardens, so marakai. So that was what that little kōrero was about.
We're getting a little bit of a fright about that today because 12 degrees is our high and 3 degrees is our overnight low. It feels like the middle of winter again. But hopefully, yeah, this is the last burst, hopefully.
I think we have to just go with the climate change dynamics. We can't do anything about it, but we can try and understand that it's really we're living in unusual weather patterns within unusual weather patterns for the different seasons. Nā kaupeka o te, nā wāhanga o te tau, the different seasons that we're experiencing. The word, I want to just emphasise the plant, which is, I've got a leaf here, a dried leaf of the rangiora, which it's known as pukapuka, and the reason for that is that it was actually used for writing on.
Because it's big enough. That must be 20 centimetres long, leaf.
Yeah, it's a beautiful row leaf, and it was written on back in the day and actually sent through the post. Amazing.
Really?
Amazing.
Put a stamp on it. Yeah. Or put it in an envelope. Well, no, you wouldn't have had an envelope. If you're having to use a leaf to write on, you're not going to have envelopes, are you?
Yeah, yeah. So it was called also pukapuka, which is the Māori word for book, and that's its origins. It comes from the rangiora. It's also known in English as a bushman's friend, and that's
And what was it used for by the bushman?
It was toilet paper,
right?
Basically, for those in the forest in the ngahere, and it's quite a. This one's actually not the largest leaf. They can get pretty big.
Were they in plentiful supply, or did you have to when you needed one? Did you have to go looking for it?
Not really. They're in plentiful supply. They grow right on the edges of the forest and throughout the forest canopy. Yeah, I can see them in my mind's eye. They were quite prolific.
I need to bring one up on the computer. I'll do that while you
talk. Yes. I just wanted to also share with you some of the offerings within Whangaroa during this Te Wiki o Te Reo. So in celebration of Te Wiki o Te Reo, our local Raglan Library are also offering daily sessions. I have one myself sharing Taonga Puoro, traditional Māori instruments and waiata on Friday, this coming Friday, the 20th, between 10 and 11. So hope to see a few of the, mainly the, oh, all of you.
Everybody's welcome. At the library.
At the library, at our local library. The other offering that is coming up, but that's on the weekend, is we are preparing up at Soulscape with the Soulscape whānau for Te Pāhure o Rehua, which is the equinox, the spring equinox. Of course, there's two equinoxes, and it's known as Te Pāhure o Rehua. And that will be celebrated there on the on Rātapu, the Sunday, the 22nd of Māhuru, September. By way of, there will be several offerings. The one that I am facilitating is an earth oven, a traditional hāngi.
Okay.
So that the kai is cooked in the ground, not in a hāngi cooker. Yeah. Which so is quite common.
It's the real deal, is what you're saying.
Okay, that's a great word for it. The real deal.
The real meal deal.
The real meal deal. It's not vegan yet, but there's as we go forward, it's possible that it will become possible. I've not.
You might have to have a separate hāngi.
Yeah.
Across
somebody
from
will.
It.
Somebody will. That.
Yes, somebody else.
So that traditional hāngi is something to look forward to, and it's also a gathering to for us to, as a community, to eat together, and if you are so inspired, to eat with your hands, ooh, which a lot of people love.
Mm.
And so eating a hāngi in this way is also an experience, and you may choose to do so along with others. That is available now. The tickets are available through myself. I can give you my number on this.
Mm. Yeah. It's your choice.
Yeah.
I say that like bad things will happen. Some people don't want their numbers out on the radio, but if you want to do it, go for it.
Okay, so there are some posters around the village, and hopefully on social media you will have received them. They've been, though, there's one specifically around the earth oven, which is the cooking of food in the ground. A lot of people won't know what that looks like. So, yeah, come and have a look.
Okay.
And also experience food that's been cooked, really, with soil.
And we'll put this on our What's On Guide at raglanradio.com, so
yeah,
you can follow through there.
That would be great. And that we're expecting to serve that between 12 and 1. And for people to stay on site, there will be music, an offering of some wonderful music in the early afternoon, and a medicinal tea house. So you can buy herbal teas.
Right.
And mainly native plant teas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can I ask, there's something I know nothing about, so was equinox noted, celebrated in pre-European culture here?
Yeah, well, the main form of knowing what to do, the diary of pre-European, of Māori, was the sky. The sky, the earth, all of the natural environment contributed to knowing when things should be activated or initiated. And so as the earth warmed up, so the equinoxes and that, we were much more in touch with those natural rhythms than we are at this point. So we have to highlight them so we remember that they are significant times of natural phenomena, which have been happening for thousands of years. But it would be fair to say that most of Western culture doesn't pay attention to those rhythms, because we don't live in that. We don't live in that. We don't. We just don't pay attention.
We live in either an industrial world, or we might call it an information world now.
Yeah. So the information we get is not about the natural occurrences, unless it's the weather, and really, that's just a tiny bit of the information from Indigenous people, because we relied on it heavily to guide us through to the next stage of what to do within our community, hapuri, environment. This is quite a big deal how we have to keep on placing these markers within Western culture to remind us really of what's already there. It's not like we created it. We didn't create it. It's actually there. It's an acknowledgement of a natural cycle.
Yeah, and it's when we live in the industrial cycle, or that, when I say the information world, like people are on social media and their jobs is processing information, so that doesn't have a rhythm so much as it's just on all the time, and we don't get the breaks. Our minds don't get a break from that barrage of information that's always on.
My understanding is that as a medicine woman, is we don't pay attention to those rhythms. They're always there.
Yeah, they're there, but we're on this other thing.
We're on this disconnect. We're actually disconnected from our natural rhythms, allowing them to actually be fully present. We live in a very strange portal. I know that. We just live in a very, very strange, disconnected portal from our natural signs. We call them tohu, and they become phenomena, but they're actually going on all the time, and we pay attention to them when somebody like an astronomer brings our attention to this something that's happening. We go, oh wow, that's amazing. But these actual events that are in nature actually happen all the time. We don't pay attention to them.
Yeah, of course.
So you would do a weather report, but we can actually sense the weather report. You give a weather report on what's happening with the sun and the moon and the rain and those things that seem necessary to know. But if we went to look outside and could feel our environment, we would actually be able to work it out. Work some of those things out. Mm. I mean, it's good to have a weather report. Don't get me wrong; it's really good. Really
important. But if you're purely paying attention to the phenomena in the world, you'd be picking up on the changes in humidity, changes in temperature, wind direction,
absolutely.
Comparing that to what's happened in previous times. Yeah,
absolutely. I know people who are already out there in the moana, who are navigating the ocean and understanding what those navigational tools were by practicing them, the renaissance of those practices. It's amazing. It's beautiful to know.
Now, I have something I realised I wanted to ask about that we didn't plan before we came on the air about the new queen. But do you have? I don't want to interrupt your flow. If you've got things that you're bought, first of all, we can save that till the end, or we could do it now.
Oh yeah, okay. What are we diving into?
Her name. I wanted to understand her name.
Just say her name for me, because I haven't actually.
I've just googled Māori Queen and it's come up with her grandmother. Oh, there we go. So Queenie Ngāwai Hono I te Pōpaki.
Okay, so Queenie is a Māori transliteration for queen. Ngāwai. I don't know the origins of her name. It would be something I would also need to research that was given to her. Of course, Paki is her whānau name through her father.
Yeah.
And definitely quite an inspirational change within the kingitanga that has occurred. It was an extraordinary event, kaupapa, that took place with the passing of her father and then the crowning of the youngest daughter of the Paki whānau to lead in the kingitanga movement. And very young, and people are very positive. There's a lot of positivity around the fact that she's been given that honour to lead. I think it will unfold as the months go on.
Yeah,
how her place in within Te Ao Māori and within Aotearoa New Zealand, how that will evolve. Yeah, because it really is an evolutionary path to have such a young figurehead in anywhere in the world. I think within the world, in amongst Indigenous people, I would say there would be a lot of hope, tūmanako, for this crowning that has taken place. I can sense that. And she's female. She's Māre Kura, so even better.
And I just like that it's taken us out of, we were, and we'll probably go back to this, but we were in the grind of squabbling about David Seymour's treaty bill, or principles bill, and the negativity around that, and it was good for us to be, I think, to be taken out of that by this event. I mean, it was a man's death as well, so that's not necessarily a good thing, but what has come from that is, I don't want to use the word distraction, because this is more than a distraction. It's taken us to a new place, to a better place, at least for a time, I think, by focusing on that, and yeah.
I think the refocusing has been essential to the well-being of all New Zealanders and Aotearoa and the world, to have such a figurehead appointed within our nation to go forward. I don't foresee any negativity coming from this kaupapa. I see we can only prosper. It's really about prosperity. Those who are full of distraction within the political world, that's not really the big issue. Those are just things that come up in media that people choose to pay attention to, but they're really not that relevant to going forward. They provide distraction from where we need to focus. And yeah, I think that's how they're coached, really. Within this setting, this new setting, we are up for transformation. We are up for a lot of hope, and also to change the what is considered to be prosperity. It's definitely a need for us to understand what prosperity really looks like on the ground. And I would say that within the kingitanga, they have a very clear understanding of what that looks like and how that there are many things. There are many things which the kingitanga will pay attention to, but at the heart of it will be people, caring for our people and how we regard our environment. Many things played out on the day that the late king, his burial, many things that were not known and not seen before. So he's now in an unmarked grave. That's very significant, because we consider that to be like you return to your mother. You don't need, I'm not really the right person to articulate the whole kaupapa behind that, but it's really to signify you don't need to know who I am anymore. You can remember, you know where I am, you know. This whole plaquing of grave sites wasn't really done pre-European.
But it's known that many are buried on the Maunga at Taupiri.
Well, you're pretty special if you're buried on the Maunga. My uncle is buried on Taupiri. He was a young man. He has a place. He was buried there many years ago. It's a great honour to be buried on Taupiri.
Mm.
So no, not everyone will get that will get to be buried there.
Do we know everyone that is buried there? Because it must go back a long time.
One of the beautiful things about Māori is their ability to memorise their whakapapa. Mm. It's one of the gifts that we have and share continuously, where we're from, who we are, who we're related to, at least up to our grandparents. It's something we've, it's just part of our genes, our gene pool. It's not about whether you like your great-grandparents, it's about you are connected to them. So Māori love to recite their pepeha and who they whakapapa to. It's a very grounding part of saying who we are. I don't recall Europeans ever opening their mouth and introducing themselves through their whakapapa, but it's very common for Māori to still do that, to introduce themselves to you as I'm the granddaughter of Ida and Wesley.
So, we introduce ourselves or ask about, when we meet someone, our job, because then we know our place within the industrial culture that we live in, and that's telling us that's what our prime, the most important thing about us is how we contribute to the industrial system.
Yeah, and that contribution is you actually become part of what Donna Awatere would call the social apparatus. And basically you're actually fulfilling a job. You don't have your own sovereignty. She talks at it really, really clearly in terms of Māori sovereignty. It's not where our sovereign power lies, tino rangatiratanga. So those places of having titles, yeah, that's fine. You use the titles for different purposes when you receive them, and the honour of those, whatever they might be, or the achievements within the academic world, your scholarly, your scholastic achievements. However, that's not the main foundation of who you really are. It's almost irrelevant to that.
Yeah.
It's best to know who you are, where you're from. And that gives everyone a really good understanding. Oh, you're from the far north. Oh, you're from the east coast. Oh, I see. You're from Whangaroa. And that's really important.
It's funny, in Whangaroa, people do want to know how long you've lived here. That's a question you always get asked. It kind of relates to that, but it's also a very parochial one. And a little bit of knowing your place if you haven't been here long enough. There's an element of that to it, but it's closer than what's your job.
What happens with a pepeha is that you are acknowledging geographical features as well.
Yeah.
When you extend on it. So it gives you a sense of a different kind of natural landscaping geologically. And that is just, it's precious, that piece of information or that pepeha. And when you speak it all the time, it comes alive. The river comes alive, the mountain, the maunga. While the maunga may not be a tall mountain with snow on it, it's a significant maunga because it actually is ancestral.
So what do you say when you meet people? Because you were born up north, but you live here. So what do you say?
I would normally let them know that I'm not from here.
Yeah.
That I'm not from here because people can make assumptions about, not that I'm not from here, but I don't whakapapa to here directly through my bloodlines, and that I have, my connections are to Kaio, Whangaroa in the far north. And yeah, that's an ongoing conversation to breathe into this community and hapuri, that while I offer my skills and pūkenga within this place that I live, my actual whakapapa origins are from Ngā Puhi Nui Tonu. I think people know that. Maybe they don't.
I know that. Mind you, I talk to you quite a bit, so And about this sort of thing as well. So it is going to come up quite a lot.
Yeah. I just thought in closing, what I'd like to do is share about the Tonga Pūoro. I've brought in a gourd or hue or taha, which is the kupu Māori. The most common one is hue. And the name of the deity which is related to this gourd is Hine Pū Te Hue. So the gourd is grown, now's the time to actually put the seeds in, the kākano, to grow them for the next season.
I have a question. How did the seeds get in and what was in there get out? Because I'm looking at it, you can't see me, folks, but I'm trying to look at it. I'm looking for a hole, basically. I can't see anything.
So you have to open the hue and take the seeds, the kākano, out of the hue to grow them for the next season or have one available that you use for that purpose. And as you can hear, it's...
Bring it up right by the mic.
It's...
yeah, there we go.
A
it sounds like seeds, look quite like pumpkin seed size.
Yeah, and they're a very specific looking seed. I will be introducing those a little bit more on Friday at the Tonga Pūoro session at the library.
So was it cut in half? A hole was cut? Because I can't see any.
No, the hole's not being cut. This will stay as it is. But its brother or sister will be cut open. There'll be a gourd that grew on the same vine that will the seeds will be taken from that, just like you do with pumpkins.
So that was not cut open?
No, it hasn't been cut open.
Oh, so it just you wait for it dries?
Yes.
Okay, can I feel how it...
Yes.
Oh, it's Maroke. Light. It's light.
Yeah.
Oh, careful, I'll break it. I'm going to break it.
So the deity for that is Hine Pū Te Hue. And now is the time, I'll say that again, for planting the kākano of Hine Pū Te Hue, of the gourd, if you wish to propagate them and experience a growing cycle.
And to eat them, what do they taste like?
No, I haven't eaten them.
You don't eat them?
Not really.
Oh, it's just purely grown for this purpose?
No, they can be eaten.
Okay.
They can be eaten. I don't eat them.
Yeah.
Just haven't really thought about it. I've always grown them for other purposes.
Right.
So I've quite a collection of hue, and they're one of their main purposes. I have a very beautiful, large one that is was for carrying water.
Yeah.
Water carriers. Yeah.
So how big is that one?
It's
as big as a bucket, basically.
Big as a bucket.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. So practice your reo this week, people, or forever from now on. An opportunity. So, and come down to the session that I'm offering on Friday between 10 and 11 at our local Raglan Library, which will be a lot of waiata, a lot of singing. It's waiata and also sharing of the sounds of taonga pūoro, traditional Māori instruments.
So as well as the hui, you will have other instruments?
Probably not. I could do. It's quite a big deal to carry them around. So
yeah.
And also, yes, I may do. It will be by inspiration.
Okay. All right. May there be plenty of inspiration between now and then. Thank you for coming in.
Ai, kia hau maru koutou.